Amen. What a blessing this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful morning. I thank you for all of your many, many blessings to us, Father, and your love for us. Truly, Lord, we are amazed at your goodness. Father, I thank you for the time we've already had together in worship and around your word in the Bible study and the Sunday school. Lord, I just pray that now as we come to this time and we open your word, Father, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds and draw us close to yourself, that we might be enlightened, we might be strengthened, we might be challenged and encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to look first this morning at a couple verses in Psalm chapter 35, and then we will discuss them a little bit, talk about them a little bit. Psalm chapter 35, beginning with verse 27, and we'll read 27 and 28. Psalm 35, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. Here we have an interesting concept. I remember when I was young and I heard this the first time, I remember hearing it and going, how exactly can you magnify God? What does magnify mean? What does magnify mean?
It would be looking at something small.
Okay. So it's making something look bigger, right? Now, can you make God bigger than he is? No, there's no way you can ever make God bigger than he is. He's already fills the whole universe. His presence fills the entire universe, right? Not only this, the world, but the entire universe is filled with his presence, with his being, filled with who he is. So how can you magnify God? And the idea here that I came to understand and that I learned is that so many times in life, our circumstances, our feelings, the things we're experiencing, the way that we perceive things, the way that we look at life as it happens around us becomes so big and so all-consuming to us. It consumes our thoughts. It consumes our peace. It consumes our rest. It consumes our energy and our time. It becomes so big that so many times God kind of just seems distant. He seems small, like the sun is so big. It's hundreds of times larger than our earth, but because it's so far away, it looks small. It looks like it's only a little bit bigger than a half dollar, right? Like a 50-cent piece. That's about the size it looks. Because it's so far away. But in reality, it's hundreds of times larger than the earth that we live on. And we know that the earth is huge, right? I mean, you start out walking, you could walk for months and we wouldn't even hit the ocean yet if you were heading in certain directions. In some directions, you'd hit the ocean before that. But in certain directions, if you headed off, you could walk for months on end without running into the ocean. And then once you ran into the ocean, if you wanted to and you got on a little boat, and you sailed to the next piece of land, and you walked across that, it would take you probably a couple of years if you were to walk and sail your way around the entire globe. So our world is huge, right? We know that. We can catch a glimpse of that just in our lives. Well, the sun is so many hundreds of times bigger than that. But because it's so far away, it seems small. In the same way, so many times, because we get so focused on the here and the now and life just all around us, just consuming our attention and our energy and our strength, God begins to seem rather far away and small. And yeah, I mean, he lights up, the sun lights up our world, and it's very important, but yet it's, you know, it's not that big, we don't feel like. In the same way, many times we can begin to have that kind of a perspective towards God. Like, yeah, I'm glad he's here. He's a great friend. He's done a lot for me. But he's not as actively present in the reality of my life as the troubles and the hurts and the heartaches and the pains and the suffering so many times, because he seems so far away. How do you magnify something? You examine it more closely. You don't necessarily, like if you're looking through a magnifying glass, you might make something that looks small on a page that is fairly small seem bigger. But when you're looking through a telescope, you're not making those stars or those planets seem bigger than they are. You can't even comprehend how big they are. You simply are seeing a little bit more their size in reality by zooming in a little bit, and it takes you a closer step. So you're focusing your gaze on it, and as you gaze, it becomes bigger. Not that it actually became bigger, but you realize its size, you realize its magnitude. If you want to go out and stare at the sun, it's going to become very overpowering very soon, because you're looking into this thing that seems so small at that distance. But yet, if you stare at it for very long, you will literally go blind, because it's so powerful, and the more you stare, the more it just overwhelms you. In the same way, when we turn our hearts and our minds to focus in on God and magnify him, all of a sudden, the other things around us begin to fade. They begin to seem less overwhelmingly huge because of the comparison of realizing, yeah, that's a big thing, but my God is so much bigger. When the disciples were in the boat and they were in the middle of the storm, it wasn't a problem that they realized there was a storm. It was a problem that they forgot that Jesus was bigger than the storm. Right? The trouble wasn't that the storm was so big. Because there's a lot of big storms in life. There's a lot of big storms that come our way. It doesn't matter how big the storm is if you realize how big your God is. So as we look here, he says, "Let the Lord be magnified, and my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long." That's one way of doing this, one way of magnifying God, to remind ourselves of his goodness, to remind ourselves of his righteousness and the things he's done that are praiseworthy, that are noteworthy. We talked about that a couple weeks ago when we looked at Jehoshaphat and how Jehoshaphat came to pray before the Lord. He was overwhelmed. He didn't know what to do. But rather than coming and, I'm so overwhelmed. Instead, he came and he began to remind his heart and the hearts of the people around him how big God is. He said, hey, remember when God did this? Remember how God's always looked out for us and taken care of us? Remember who God is and how big he is. And it's nothing for him to wipe out nations to make room for us here in the land of Canaan. And all the, so to recount some of the mighty things that God had done. What was he doing? He was speaking of God's righteousness, and he was reminding himself of the things that were praiseworthy, and in doing so, he was magnifying God in his own eyes, in his own mind, and in the mind and hearts of people around him. Not that God became bigger, because God can't become bigger, right? God's already as big as you can possibly be, way bigger than we'll ever comprehend. But yet, he was beginning to see again and remind himself again and remind those around him again of just how big God is. As he magnified him, he focused, as it were, focused a spotlight on God and zoomed in and really looked, and whoa, he's amazing. Our problem so many times in life when we become overwhelmed with things is simply that we're focusing on those things instead of focusing on the one who rules all things. In Psalm chapter 40, verse 16 and 17, he says, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." We see here the psalmist reflects for just a moment on his own weakness, his own need. He says, "I'm poor and needy. I don't have it. I'm overwhelmed. I'm struggling." But he immediately shifts his focus back onto God, and he says, "Yet the Lord thinketh upon me." God's thinking about me. God's remembering me. God knows my troubles. God knows the hardships I'm going through. God knows where I am. Like Job said, he knows my way. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm going. I'm overwhelmed and I feel like I'm stumbling in the dark without a compass. But God knows where I'm at. And the psalmist here says, "Yet the Lord thinketh upon me." God is thinking about me. God doesn't forget his own. God remembers me. God still cares about me. He says, "Thou art my help and my deliverer." He's again focusing his eyes instead of focusing on all that's going around him. Yes, I'm poor and I'm needy and I'm struggling and I'm having a hard time, but yet God. And in the process of doing that, what's the result we see? In verse 16, he says, "Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified." The more we focus our attention and our gaze on the answer, on the solution, instead of on the problem, the more we cease to be overwhelmed. And this applies to our reaching out to others, our witnessing to others, our working in the lives of others for God's glory and to try to draw them to the Lord. So many times it's easy for us to start focusing on all the, you need to change this and you need to change that and you're having trouble with this, and we're looking at this problem and we see, and they're usually focused on their problems too, and oh, poor me, and if you just knew the trouble and the difficulty I'm having, what's the answer? Is it to look deeper into that problem? Is it to just wait and struggle and slog through that problem for years and days on end? No. The answer is to point them to Christ, to say, "Yes, your problem is terrible, but I know a God who solves problems. Yes, you're a sinner and you're drowning in your sin, but I know a Christ who died for sinners. Yes, you're having a hard time, but let's not focus only on the problem and let's not focus primarily on the problem. Yes, you have to know you're a sinner. Yes, you have to be willing to repent. But yet, the next step, and which must follow quickly after, is to shift that focus to Christ. Because only in looking at the answer can you find an answer to the problem. You can't find an answer to the problem by staring deeply into the problem. The problem just gets bigger and bigger until it overwhelms you. And that's what we see happening so much in our day. There's so many people struggling with depression and suicidal thoughts and all these different things that are overwhelming them, and they can't do life. They're freaking out. They're having panic attacks. They're not able to go and work their job. They're not able to do all the main basic parts of life because they're so focused on their problems and their hardships and their troubles. That's easy to do. What's the antidote? Help them realize they don't have problems? No, they probably really do. We all do, right? This world is a fallen world. We live in a broken, fallen world. Life sucks. That's okay. It's okay to admit that, to realize that, to know that, to be honest about that. But we are not looking to life for our answer. Where are we looking for our answer? If we're looking to Christ and we focus our attention on Him, the more we focus on Him, the more we realize He's so much bigger and greater than those problems. And we can share that with those around us as we talk to them. Yes, they're in many times in terrible situations and terrible need, and they're struggling and they're overwhelmed. And yes, they have all these things. I've witnessed with a man who took great joy and pleasure in talking for minutes to hours on end. He would go on and on if you let him, just talking about just how terrible his family was, just what terrible sinners they were. And he loved to just tell these stories about what terrible sinners they were, and just, oh yeah, we're just terrible. I mean, we're just hopeless bunch. And he was constantly focusing his attention on the problem. And it was so hard to pull his attention away from the problem and say, yes, that's true, but there's a solution. You'll never fix a problem by staring at the problem. You fix a problem by looking at the solution. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I am lifted up, if I am exalted, if I am magnified, if I am brought into perspective, I will draw all men unto me. So what's our purpose? Is it to point out people's troubles and their sins? They probably already know that. Even if they're not willing to admit it to you, they probably already know that and admit it to themselves. And yes, they're going to have to come to a place of being willing to admit it. But that doesn't give them the solution. The solution is Jesus. The solution is there's an answer. There's a light that can come and shine through your darkness. And I may have to be a magnifying glass for a while to some people around me, showing them just how good God is. They can't see it. But if I reflect and magnify Him in my words, in my actions, in my life, guess what? They get a little glimpse and they go, really? God loves me? God's good? God's not sitting up there with a bat waiting to hit me over the head every time I mess up? God's not just off in some far distant place and doesn't care about us? As I become a magnifying glass, it's not that I'm making Him seem bigger than He is. I'm just showing someone so far from Him a little glimpse of who He is, of His goodness, of His brightness, of His beauty. We should remind our hearts when we're working with people, when we're witnessing to people. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. What leads you to repentance? Feeling really bad about yourself? No, that doesn't lead you to repentance. That leads you to depression. The goodness of God leads you to repentance. When you see, yes, I am broken and I'm pitiful, yet God gave His Son for me. Yet God gave His life for me. It stirs up repentance in my heart. It stirs up a God. I'm sorry for who I am. I'm sorry for the way that I've lived. I want You to take charge of me because You know how to do it and I don't. John, 1 John 4, verse 19, he says, we love him because he first loved us. It's as we see his love for us that we can then return love back to him. If I don't know he loves me, there's no way I'm going to know or be able to love him, because he just seems so distant. He seems so untouchable. He seems so unreachable. He seems like he's just, you know, waiting with a baseball bat to hit you over the head every time you mess up. And so many people have this perspective of God because they're focusing on them. They're focusing on the problem. They're focusing on their struggles. They're focusing on their weakness instead of realizing, yes, all of that is true, but yet God. But yet God. And in our reaching out to people, in our talking to them, our sharing Christ with them, it's important that we remember to magnify him, to show forth to them, not just, oh, you're a terrible sinner that's in trouble, because that doesn't help. That's an important step along the way, but that doesn't help them come to the solution. The solution is Jesus. Yeah. The solution is Jesus. I can know all day long that I've got a problem, but unless I know the solution, it does me no good to know I have the problem. Men are drawn to Christ when he is magnified, when he is shown to be the gracious, loving, compassionate Savior that he is, when he's shown just a glimpse of God so loved the world and God so loved you. Yes, you're poor and needy and miserable, but God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son for you. Men are drawn to Christ when he is magnified, not when their sin is magnified. It's not the goal of successful witnessing to point out how terrible the sinner is, but to show him how great the Savior is. Most of the time, people already know they're in trouble, right? They might not admit it to you, like I said. They might not admit it in front of their friends, but in the quiet of their own heart, in their own room, at night on their bed, they know. They can't solve their problems. They know they're in trouble. We talked about a guy the other day that he couldn't hardly sleep. He'd have to get up and go get high or get drunk or something a little bit just to be able to sleep, because when he would get quiet with his thoughts, it was too much. He couldn't handle who he was. What good would it do to focus in a magnifying glass for him on who he is? He already knows and can't stand who he is. How do I help someone like that? How do I help someone who's already overwhelmed with who they are, already knows that there's a problem? I have to magnify the answer, magnify the solution, magnify Christ. Psalm chapter 34, verse 1 through 6. Psalm 34, verse 1 through 6. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And then he gives a personal testimony. He's here. He says, I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Again, he mentions briefly a couple of times in there, I was in trouble, but he doesn't focus his main gaze on the trouble. He focuses his gaze on the Lord. They looked unto him. They looked. They gazed. They fixed their attention on him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. So we've looked at this in relation to sharing Christ with others, but similarly, in our own lives, in our own walk with the Lord, it's not particularly helpful to dwell long and hard on our own sins and shortcomings. There's no answer in that. What happens if I focus on how badly I fail? I get discouraged. I get depressed. I struggle more because I'm weak. I've put myself in a position where I'm weak spiritually because I'm already discouraged. I'm already deflated. I'm already drowning. And so then when trouble comes along, when temptation comes along, it's like, well, what does it matter? I've already messed up so bad anyway. Who cares? And so many times we get hit so hard because we're already so weak. And we're so susceptible to it because we're already so discouraged because our focus is on us. There's been times when one of my kids was trying to do something, struggling to do it, and eventually they just put their head down. They're just discouraged. They've given up. They're like, no, I can't do it. Like, I'm ready to help you, but you have to lift your head and realize I'm here. I'm holding it, and I'm ready to help you. But as long as you're focused on the fact that you can't do it, you can't do it. That's true. Absolutely. But you don't have to do it alone. I'm here. And God, speaking to us the same way, says, yes, you can't do it. Your enemy is greater than you are by far. But yet, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Yeah, you're gonna struggle and you're going to have a hard time in this world. And the world is stronger. But it's not stronger than me. It's just stronger than you. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What does Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses say? One of my favorite passages, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race set before us. Yes, I want to do that, but I'm struggling every time I try to lay aside these weights. I find that I'm carrying more weights. Every time I toss one thing off, I realize I've got more, right? I'm trying to run with patience the race set before me, but I find my legs are weak. I find I don't have the energy. What's the answer? How do I do this? How do I practically do this to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us and run with patience the race set before us? Because that sounds great. I want to do that, but I don't know how, and I'm struggling. How do I do that? Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. If you're looking at the sins and the weight and the race, you will stumble. You will struggle. You will fall. You will be discouraged. You will be disheartened. But looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Who's he? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And here he's just taking that and stating, God's going to finish what he started. He's big enough for that. He's strong enough for that. I'm not counting on me being able to somehow successfully run this race in my own strength. I'm not counting on me being able to figure out how to lay aside all these weights. I'm not counting on me being able to somehow, by dint of force, just lay aside these sins that beset me and pull myself up by my bootstraps. No! That doesn't work. I'm dying. I'm drowning. What's the answer? Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can Christ win this race? Yes, he did. He did already. So if I'm looking to him and I'm focusing on him and I'm remembering what he's already done, I'm not overwhelmed by this race, because guess what? The one who's guiding me and who's living inside of me and who's making this happen already won it. He already accomplished it. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He completed the race, and now he's already finished. He's already sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he's already made it. He's already successfully finished the course. So when I look to him and I walk in his strength, guess what? He already knows the way. I don't have to try to figure it out. I don't have to try to reinvent the wheel. He already made it. He's my guide. Looking unto Jesus. As we magnify Christ in our own minds and hearts, the problems, stresses, failures, and difficulties, they begin to fade away. Not that they're gone, because we still live in a broken world full of problems, right? But they become so much less all-overwhelming and all-encompassing. They become so much less significant in comparison to him and his power and his grace that's abounded toward me. When God is viewed in his proper perspective, in a proper size ratio in comparison to our problems, all of a sudden, they seem pretty small, don't they? When we see how big our God is, who's fighting for us and who's standing for us and who's guiding us and holding our hand and says, I won't let you go. I know where you are. I know what you're struggling with. I've been there. I've done that. I've succeeded. All of a sudden, the murky mud of life begins to clarify. And all of a sudden we begin to realize, you know, even if I struggle and I'm dragging along, yet Christ already has everything I need. I don't have to try to figure out how to pull myself out of this pit, because he's already out of it. And he's reaching his hand down to pull me out. He's standing in complete victory already. He's not trying to figure out how to win this battle. He already won it. He already won it completely and utterly. And now, if I focus my eyes on him and I walk with him and I lean on him, he's able to do that same victory in my life. He's able to bring that same victory in my life over anything that comes my way. He's already faced it. He's already won it. Even death couldn't hold him. That's the mighty Christ who now lives in me. And by his strength, I can share in that victory. Let's pray. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, that you would cause each one of us, Lord, help each one of us to fix our eyes on you, to turn our gaze, to magnify you in our hearts and our minds, to focus on you, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, as we walk and live in our personal lives, and then also as we reach out to those around us, Lord, help us to remember to magnify the solution, to magnify Christ. He is the answer. And only as we look to Him do we truly live. Father, I pray that you would help us to focus our eyes, Lord. We can't do this. We can't be who we want to be, who you want us to be. We can't walk this way, but Christ already has. He's already won the victory. And He is willing and able to bring that to us, to make us partakers of that victory. Father, help us to lean into that, to press into that. In Jesus' name, amen.